We're ready to receive the word. So let's have the saints all come marching in. Oh, when the saints come marching in. When the saints come marching in. Oh, how I want to be in that number. There's one, when the saints come marching in. Because of the spiritual nourishment. I just want to thank God for being in a country where we can openly worship and teach the word and receive and drink. Because if some people had it their way, this country would not be like this. That's a. But here we are. Tell them. Oh, when the saints come marching in. Oh, when the saints come marching in. Oh, how you better be long to be in that number. When the saints go marching in. Amen. And the saints. The saints are marching in. Amen. Brother Moses. Amen. Brother Moses. Let's receive Moses as he brings the word. Hallelujah. God bless you, brother. Father, we thank you that once again we're in your presence to learn from you, to hear from you, and to be fed of you, Lord God. Father, we come as we are, with open arms, with open hearts, with open minds, willing that, Lord, you will take out that which we know and give us that which you want us to know. And that, Lord God, you will just continually renew our understanding of the Word of God.
Yes.
And that you will continually renew our understanding of why you have called us to be with you. That, Father, Lord God, we may not miss any opportunity to learn. That we shall not concentrate on the bread and miss the sign. Yes. That, Father, we shall look at you and look to you. Yes. Look to your faithfulness and depend on you and believe in you. And that, Father, we shall take the word and mix it with our faith. And that, Lord, you will cause it to bear fruit in us. That, Father, it will bear 30%, it will bear 60%, it will bear 100%. Yes. That, Lord, it will bear according to what you have purposed it to bear in each one of our lives, oh God. Father, we pray that you will cleanse our minds, for your word makes us clean, that your word will make us clean, Lord God. We pray that your word will come with encouragement, Lord, that your word will encourage us, oh Lord God. We pray that the joy of the Lord will ensue from your word, O Lord God. And that, Father, the joy of the Lord will continue to be our strength. We pray that you will speak peace to our minds where we need peace. For, Lord God, the peace of God surpasses all understanding. Father, Lord God, we pray that you will give us a special anointing. The anointing that comes from your word, O Lord God. For the anointing breaks the yoke. And that, Lord, that anointing will come and break whatever yoke Lucifer has wished to put on us, O Lord God. Father, we pray that your word will just come and cut through every barrier. For your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, O Lord God. And Father, let the word just come and cut through any barriers, Lord God, in our lives, O Lord God. And Father, we pray that you will consume any chaff, Father, that may be occupying our minds and our thinking and our lives, O Lord God. For the word of God is a consuming fire. So let your word just come and consume, Lord God. And Father, if there is anything that needs to be crushed, let your word just come and crush, for your word is a hammer. So Father, we thank you and we pray and allow your word to work in us as your purpose, O Lord God. Let your word work in us, O Lord God. Let your word work in our lives, O God. Let your word work in our understanding, O Father. Let your word take over, Lord God. Father, where we need healing, for your word heals. Let your word heal and deliver us and strengthen us, O Lord God. We bless you, Lord God. And we worship you. In the name that's above all names, the name of Jesus, the Christ of the living God. Amen. Amen. I will be brief today. And I just want us to continue exploring together, you know, picking up a few lessons as we conclude, as we draw closer to the conclusion. I don't think we'll conclude today by God's grace, maybe another time, the story of Joseph and his journey from the land of Canaan into the land of Egypt. And you'll remember that last Sunday, those of you who were here, we watched a movie. And and so those of you who are not here, you missed the movie. Please don't miss Sunday, because you never know which Sunday we shall be having a movie, right? So we watched a great movie, and it was very interesting to see the various scenes. And the movie has many scenes, and we just could continue watching scenarios and scenes, and you just see as the life of Joseph plays out. And I'm sure many of us can relate to many of the things that happened in the life of Joseph. And today we do Joseph part 7. And in their footsteps, we continue walking in their footsteps, trying to put ourselves in the footsteps of the patriarchs, or trying to understand the things that the patriarchs went through. For these men and women went ahead of us to pave the way, to show us an example. The Bible says whatever happened to them was for us an example. And we can learn from them. And if we believe God speaks to us, he certainly must have spoken to them. And if he spoke to them, then we need to be able to learn some of the great things that God spoke to them. And so we continue with the story. We pick up the story of Joseph in what I've called the reunion. And one of the things I've seen people love in this country is family reunions. Amen? And, you know, not only family reunions, I think the other time Brother Dan was telling us about an alumni reunion of his school, how people from his high school, you know, were getting together and reuniting. So reunions are great. You know, if you haven't seen somebody for a long while and then all of a sudden you're meeting them, it's very exciting, right? It can be a real experience in itself. And that right there is another scene of our movie. And you can picture Joseph and Jacob finally coming together. I mean, just reading that one verse of scripture is so powerful. Turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 46. Genesis chapter 46, and we will begin. We will pick it up at verse 29. Again, as I said, these are long chapters, and I'm not going to try and read each and every verse to us, because in many ways, most of us have really grown up hearing and reading and understanding the story of Joseph and Jacob, and so these stories are very close to our hearts. But at the same time, there are some scriptures that teach us some things, and so I'll just pick up a few of those scriptures and speak to them a little bit. So Genesis chapter 46 and verse 29.
So Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to Goshen to meet his father Israel. And he presented himself to him and fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while.
I mean, just picture. Joseph never ever imagined that he would ever again look at his father's face. Never. No. As far as he was concerned, it was over. He probably, you know, the man was already old. Maybe he would die. Joseph himself didn't know if he would live to be there to see his father. Jacob himself knew his days had been determined to be evil forever. And so his wife Rachel had died. I'm sure in his mind he was struggling with the question. Was the issue with Rachel? Rachel died. Now her son is gone away from me. But all of a sudden the boys come and tell him, Dad, actually we told you a lie. Joseph is alive. No, it can't be true. We saw him. No. And then I'm sure he was looking at all these 10 men and saying, or 11 men, and saying, who of them is the best to tell me the truth? Judah. Did you? And Judah says, Dad, I saw him. He's the one. And so Joseph on this particular day prepares his chariot and he saddles and he goes to meet his father. And when they meet, they embrace, they hug. And they hold each other. And he weeps on his father's neck. The Bible says for a while. I don't know what a while here stands for. This while could have been anything from 1 second to the day. I mean, you hold and you don't want to let go. And inside that holding, during that moment of intimacy, silence, and holding, so many thoughts must have been going on in the mind of Jacob, in the mind of Joseph, and in the minds of those who are looking on. You can imagine the brothers. And the way they had seen their father cry day after day in pain. And doing that pain had taken forever. And now the moment had come. And as I read this verse and thought about it and reflected, God gave me some thoughts. And the number one lesson that I wrote down for myself is that God is faithful. And whatever he has promised will be fulfilled in its time. God is faithful. If your son has been taken away from you for so many years, if your father has been separated from you for so many years, but all of a sudden here you are, God is faithful. And as I walked into church today and the choir, is it an orchestra or a choir? The choir is singing and singing about the faithfulness of God. I couldn't stop but say, Lord, you were speaking. You're speaking to me, you were speaking to Pastor. Today, the faithfulness of God. There are moments when the devil comes to make us doubt the faithfulness of God. There are moments when the devil comes to say, but are you sure it can happen? And you are still believing? And you are walking a journey and maybe you are believing, and as you believe, you seem to just be descending instead of going back up. And the devil says, it's just getting worse and worse. And it's just getting darker and darker. It's just getting farther and farther away. The longer Joseph had waited and hoped, the harder it became as he went to prison, as he went to You know, he was forgotten. Now he's been made to look like an Egyptian. He doesn't even know how this whole connection can ever come together again. And for Jacob, it's all gone. But God is faithful. And Paul says to us in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 24. I love that verse. It's just a short verse. Let's read it. 1 Thessalonians 5:24.
He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it.
He who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. He called me. He's faithful. He will do it. When you are beginning to fail in your faith, when your faith is beginning to fail, when you are beginning to doubt, when things are looking darker, when the promise seems to be disappearing from you, he who called you is faithful. He will do it. He will do it. If you called me, Lord, you will do it. It may look difficult. I may not have the formula. I may not have the way. I may not have the means. It may be looking so impossible. But he who called you is faithful. And he will do it. Whatever it is he has called you to do, he is faithful. He will do it. And in the book of Psalms, King David says to us, chapter 37, verses 4 through 7, a passage we know very well. Again, let's read it. It's always a pleasure to read the word of God.
Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass.
You know, today, you look at the world around us, and the wicked seem to prosper. They seem to have it easy. People seem to get away with so much. And the faithful sometimes seem to get a raw deal. Have you ever felt like that at times? And everybody else seems to have it very easy. And sometimes you want to go to the Lord and say, but wait, Father, I mean, how can you be kind to... But I am faithful and... And so you may want to begin feeling like that. And King David says, do not fret. Do not envy them. Do not desire to be like them. Do not even wish for what they have. But you continue delighting in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. It doesn't matter how long it takes. He says, wait patiently. Now, the problem with today is that we live in a world of now. The internet has taught us to say now. Reality TV teaches us to say now. The microwave says now. The Concorde says now. I want it and I want it now. And the Bible says, wait patiently. I don't know how many years it was from the time Jacob was separated from Joseph, but I believe Jacob must have been waiting and hoping that one day I'll see my son, and I'll soon show you why I believe that. He was believing that one day he will see his son. It will come to pass. Joseph also believed, and I'll soon show you why I believe that. And because of their faith, And what the Lord had purposed, it came to pass. Hallelujah. The Bible says, delight in the Lord. And there are three P's that I want to just mention very quickly here. Three P's. The first P is patience. Patience. Now, every time we talk about patience when we are preaching, the ladies, the first thing that goes on in their mind is, my husband, Lord. Just help him to be a little more patient. And the men, oh, Lord, thank you very much that you're teaching me patience through my wife. But that's not the patience that I'm talking about here today. Patience to wait. The Bible there says, rest in the Lord. Let's read that verse again. That part. Rest in the Lord.
Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him.
Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. To rest, to know that he is in charge. He's in control. It may look terrible. It may look tough. It may look difficult. It may look impossible, but he is in charge. Jonah was sleeping. The storm was raging. The ship was jumping up and down on the waters. They were busy throwing everything off boat. Jonah, the culprit, was sleeping. They got him and they said, you don't even care. We are dying, you're sleeping. Get up and pray. And he says, don't worry, I am the problem. Stop worrying, just get me and throw me over. And it will be well. Must be a man who knows his God. For all the fault we may fault Jonah, that's a man who knows his God. Rest in the Lord. It may take time. It will take a while. It may be a child you're praying for to come back to the Lord. It may be a spouse you're praying to understand you. It may be a ministry you're praying for the Lord to grow. It may, whatever it is, it may be a business. It may be, wait patiently. Rest in the Lord. When they begin to say, nah, Moses, I think you're weird. I think something is not right. Rest in the Lord. And there are days when you have to speak to yourself. Now, I know that most people here who are my age or close there, you have learned how to speak to yourself. Sometimes you don't realize it, but you're busy holding a conversation alone. And oblivious to you, there may be people who are actually enjoying the movie. But King David had to speak to himself one day. He said, my soul, why are you so downcast within me? Get encouraged. The same God who did it the other day, he will do it for you. The second P, perseverance. You know, perseverance is a Christian word. If there are Christian words, perseverance is a Christian word. And you'll only hear this word most of the time in the church. To persevere. People today talk about hanging in there. Perseverance is more than hanging in there. Hanging in there means you are there, but if you had an opportunity, you would jump out. Perseverance. You know, I read a portion here. I hope I can find it from the book of 2 Corinthians. Paul says something. 2 Corinthians, I think, was it? He says in, it must have been chapter 12. Yeah, read for us verse 10. Listen to chapter 12, verse 10 of 2 Corinthians.
Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities.
Say that again. I take what?
I take pleasure.
In what?
In infirmities.
How many of us do? Wow, shall we cut out this verse from the Bible or what?
No.
Let's carry on. Eh? I take pleasure in infirmities, number one.
In reproaches.
In reproaches. How many of us take pleasure in reproaches?
Sorry.
Come on, brethren. This is gospel. Let's carry on.
In needs.
How many of us take pleasure in needs? We must be having a different Bible from Paul right now. Carry on.
In persecutions.
In persecutions. These are the things Paul takes pleasure in. These are the things Paul finds pleasurable. These are the things that make him happy. This, for him, this is the yardstick of Christianity. This is the yardstick of the joy of the Lord. How many times was I punished? Oh yeah, hallelujah, yes. Praise the Lord. How many times was I reproached? One. I wish somebody else could do it. Let me go out there and preach the gospel. And they do it. And he says, but that is what teaches us to persevere. The more you go through, the more you learn to walk the talk. The more you experience, the closer the walk with Jesus, the greater the joy of knowing him. And the third P that I want to mention is the presence of the Father. Friends, dwelling in the presence of God. Just. You know, the other day, we were sitting here, and, you know, when we were greeting people, I realized Brother David was holding his grandson. Is it grandson or granddaughter?
Yeah.
Grandson. And the little boy was dead asleep.
Oh, wow.
Completely rested.
Uh-huh.
And Brother David was there.
Yeah.
The vibrant David that I know would have gotten up and hugged everybody in church. That moment he dared not.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was holding the love of his life.
Right.
And I say to Brother David, I say, you know what? And I looked at you, the picture of God and I,
mm-hmm,
is what I saw.
Right.
This is, I believe this is how I am in the hands of God.
Right.
You may worry. The little kid is asleep. He's not bothered.
Right.
He knows he's in safe hands.
That's right.
He's in comfortable hands. We are in safe hands, brethren. Let's dwell in his presence. Let's enjoy his presence. There are many times the devil will not allow us to enjoy the presence of God. A story is told of a man who had an opportunity to see Jesus in a vision. And the Lord had his hands stretched out. And the man began to walk towards the Lord. But then the glory was so much, so he began to slow down. And as he began to slow down, he felt a jab in his back. And he turned to look. There was Lucifer beckoning him not to go. And by the time he brought his eyes back, the arms that were beckoning him were not there. And the voice came, "Why did you look back? What was it that was greater than I that made you look back?" The presence of the Lord. Sometimes it is the best thing we can do. I was listening to our politicians speak. Sometimes I enjoy just listening to them. But one of them made a statement. I don't even remember who. I just remember a little bit of the statement. And it touched me. But it was a statement in reference to President Abraham Lincoln. And I think it was a statement to the effect that being in the Oval Office, again and again, led him to his knees. And he writes and says, for many times, that was the only place left for me to go, on his knees. That was a powerful phrase for me. When the only place left for you to go is not your bank account, it's not your office, it's not your neighbor, it's not your family, it's not your friends, it's on your knees. That's the only place that you can go. That was just my first lesson. My second lesson, Genesis 46:30.
And Israel said to Joseph, "Now let me die, since I have seen your face, because you are still alive."
Whoa. I don't think this is what Joseph was waiting for. I think Joseph knew, now all the years I have missed with my father, I'm going to enjoy them. But to the father, it's over. Now let me die. Does that remind you of another scripture in the Bible? In the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 29 through 31, there was an old man called Simeon, a blind prophet who had waited for the salvation of Israel. And finally he sees the Lord Jesus Christ carried in the arms of Mary and Joseph as they brought him to the altar. And he takes up the child in his arms and he prays. And one of the statements he makes, he says, "Lord, now your servant can rest in peace, for his eyes have seen the salvation of Israel." That's why I told you, Jacob must have nursed the dream that one day he will see his son. And when finally he sees him alive, he says, "Yes, now I am ready to go. I have seen you alive. I can die." He must have all this time known that one day I'll see that boy alive. He probably, as a father, did not trust his sons, because if a wild animal is going to remove a robe from your son and he doesn't tear it to pieces, but he puts blood on the cloth, but doesn't leave any bone, doesn't leave any piece of, doesn't not a leave nothing, eats everything and all the bones. I mean, the only animal I can think of which would eat like that is a hyena. But even a hyena would not eat the skull, because even though its jaws are that strong, its mouth is not that wide, it swallowed a whole skull, so some piece, something must have remained. But Jacob did not see anything. So I'm sure in his mind he must have known, as an old man, these boys might have played me a trick. And so he probably nursed the possibility that one day he will see his son. And so the lesson that came to me is, never lose confidence in God and your dream. For one day, it will come to pass. Never lose confidence in your dream. I don't know what your dream is. There are times when it appears like, I think my dream must have just been a nightmare. My dream has turned into a nightmare. My dream must have, this dream, I think I just, you know. But never lose confidence in God and in your dream. For one day, it will come to pass. Let me quickly move on here. I looked at verse 34, and I kind of tried to understand something. Why did the Egyptians despise shepherds? They despised shepherds, they despised the cattle keepers. And I looked a little bit back in my own culture where I grew up, and oftentimes the people who look after sheep, cattle, They are despised. And I tried to understand verse 34.
That you shall say, your servants' occupations have been with livestock from our youth even until now, both we and also our fathers, that you may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians.
Every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. And you know, I kind of thought about what is happening today in the world. My assumption, my understanding is, does it surprise us that the chief shepherd is still an abomination to the Egyptians? He's the chief shepherd. And he remains an abomination to many. And if the shepherd, the chief shepherd, is an abomination to the world, then we, his followers, should know that in like manner, there are many ways in which we shall be an abomination to the world. In chapter 47, Joseph takes his brothers to meet Pharaoh. What an honor. And then eventually he brings his father also to meet Pharaoh. What an honor. And Jacob, being the man he is, as soon as he gets to the presence of Pharaoh, he blesses him. And Pharaoh asks him an innocent question. In verse, I think verse 7, or around there, Pharaoh asks him a question. How old are you? A question that many of us don't want to answer, right? It's a question that, you know, when people begin to ask you how old you are, you know, it triggers many things in your mind. There was a time when you were quick and easy to tell your age. There is when you're like, But he asks him a very innocent question. How old are you? The interesting thing for me was the answer that Jacob gives. Let's read that.
the answer, the response that comes from Jacob.
Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage."
Well, first of all, 137, and he's saying few. I don't know how many of us will have the privilege of ever counting 90. I don't know. But here is a man who is counting 137, and he says they were few and evil. But then the question that went on in my mind is, why did Jacob have to go through the pain of disclosing to Pharaoh, whom he's just blessing? I mean, if a man is going to bless you and then he's telling you how his days have been evil, I don't know whether you're about to accept, you're going to accept that blessing. Here is a man whose days have been few and evil, and now he wants to lay his hands on me. What are you going to pray? That my days will also be few and evil? I don't know. But there's something in there for us to learn.
Right, there is.
The first thing that came to me is that this is an honest man evaluating his life honestly. An honest personal evaluation. Now, if there is anything very difficult to do, is to give yourself an honest personal evaluation.
Right.
Each one of us want to be the greatest and the best. Each one of us thinks you're better than the other one. Each one of us wants to, but sometimes when you have to sit down and really look at yourself in your own mirror, and say, you know what, that is Moses, that one. It can be difficult. But here is Jacob, who actually literally sat and looked at himself and said, you know what, if I were to give an elevator speech, these days they talk about an elevator speech, eh? Summarize your 137 years, few and evil. Right there, that would be a very good media, what they call them, soundbite. Few and evil. But at the same time, I was looking at it, and I said, why didn't he talk about any of the good things? Why? He had many good things. See, how many people had 11 children, sons? How many people had all the sheep and cattle that he had? How many people were going to die in Canaan who had not been brought to Egypt? Who were left behind? How many people? Why didn't he talk about any of the good things?
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, Jacob, in this particular case, represents many of us. The Lord comes to us many times, and he asks us, and the best we can recount is how many times we have failed, all the negatives, the things we don't have, and we never talk about the things that we have. In the book of Isaiah chapter 39, there was one of the greatest kings ever lived, probably behind King David, King Hezekiah, maybe the other man that was in dear to the heart of God, of the kings that lived. Hezekiah was dying, and the Lord sent him, the prophet Isaiah, to come and pray for him and bring him life. And Hezekiah got revived. But when Hezekiah got revived, the Lord sent him visitors. And these visitors were Babylonians. And the Babylonians came and they visited King Hezekiah. And King Hezekiah showed them everything in his palace. He showed them the riches, the gold, the silver, the brass, everything, the bronze. Oh, and he showed them what a rich man he was. And he forgot to tell them how God had just given him an extra 15 years of life. He didn't mention that.
No, he didn't. No,
So as soon as the Babylonians left, Isaiah comes and visits him and says, "Hey, king, who are those?" And he says, "Those were my visitors. What did they see in your house?" "Oh, I showed them all the riches I have. I showed them all the brass, the gold, the bronze, the silver, everything." "You showed them everything?" "Yes." "Okay. I can tell you that in a very short while they are going to come back and they'll take everything you showed them." Why didn't you show them the grace of God?
Come on.
Why didn't you show them the love of God? Why didn't you show them the goodness of the Lord? Why didn't you talk to them about the kindness of the Lord? He has just given you extra life. Why is it that only the negatives is what you see? And many times we're all like that. "Lord, you see, I don't have this. You know, I don't have that. You know, Lord, now you have promised me this. Now even this one has fallen apart." Maybe I'm the only one in that bracket, you know. And so I don't want to put it on anybody else. Let me talk about me. Because many times, and sometimes the Lord has to remind me to be thankful. Just to be thankful that you are alive.
Hallelujah. Come on.
Just to be thankful that you even have the ability to speak.
Yeah.
Just to be thankful that you even have a place to work. You even have a place to sleep. There are people on the street. Can we declare the goodness of God? And so when we are standing here in that hour of worship, stop concentrating on what you don't have. That will take away the joy of praise and worship from you. But concentrate on the great things, and don't concentrate on what He has given you. Concentrate on who He is. "Father, you're great. I worship you. I honor. I give you glory." And whether you say the words in order, whether they just say it to Him. You know, it is said, men are born crying. And men include women, right? Because women are we men, but men are men, you know. So when I say men, I'm referring to all of us. They say man is born crying. He lives complaining. And he dies unsatisfied. Who of us didn't cry when we were born? I'm sure we all did. Amazingly, that's the sign that shows that you are alive. If you're born and you cry, the nurses and the midwives are happy. Say, "This child is alive." The first thing you do, if you cry, and if you don't cry, they will do a few things to make you cry. Then after you're born, then you live your life complaining. "Oh Lord, now you know I don't have this. Now Father, this. Now look at this. Now this one. Now this one. Lord, now I have a small house. Then you get a big house. Now Lord, this house is too big. Now I don't have the furniture to fit in this house. Then you get extra furniture. Now Lord, God, the furniture is too heavy for me to move it around in this house." Let me conclude this message today. Paul, therefore, teaches us, if anyone should boast, let us boast in the Lord.
That's right.
And of the Lord. And of what He has done. It's not what I have done or haven't done, but boast in the Lord and of the Lord. Our time is up. Let me quickly share three thoughts and then I call it quits here. 47, 11 to 12.
And Joseph situated his father and his brothers and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. Then Joseph provided his father, his brothers, and all his father's household with bread, according to the number of their families.
And my lesson here was a call for us to support our brethren and families. We live in a world that espouses and teaches people to be very individualistic. It's me, it's I. But here is Joseph. For all the things his brethren have taken him through, the Bible says he provided for all of them according to their family. Caring for our family.
Yes.
Our parents.
Amen.
We live in a world where the other day I was talking to someone and we were discussing this whole concept of taking the elderly into nursing homes. And I was trying to say, no, I think this is not good. And somebody says, well, but if she didn't have time for me. When I was growing up, she took me to a daycare center. Then I also don't think I'll have time for her. I mean, I also have a job. She had a job. And I'm saying, well, this is interesting. But caring for our parents, caring for our non-Christian brothers and sisters, caring for those that we do not necessarily like, caring for those that we do not necessarily believe in or embrace. Probably some of them have even persecuted us on our journey of faith. But caring, providing bread for our households, our brethren, a call for us to support our brethren and our families. And then I also discovered, actually, that taxation, I think, was introduced into the world by people like Joseph. Because in verse 24, he introduces taxation in the world.
Right.
Let's read that one, and then I'll finish.
And it shall come to pass in the harvest that you shall give one-fifth to Pharaoh. Four-fifths shall be for your own, as seed for the field, and for your food, for those of your households, and as food for your little ones.
And so, verse 26.
And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt to this day, that Pharaoh should have one-fifth, except for the land of the priests only, which did not become Pharaoh's.
So taxation was said in this particular scripture, 20%. I'm not getting into that, but you know, I was just basically looking at taxation and saying, well, way back there, taxation was happening. In conclusion, brethren, Jacob has met Joseph. They are reunited, and Jacob gets to a time when he's about to die. And that's where I want to finish. Jacob is dying. Actually, the Bible says a time came when Jacob had to die. 47:29. He had to die. What does it say?
When the time drew near that Israel must die, he called his son Joseph and said to him, now if I have found favor in your sight, please put your hand under my thigh and deal kindly and truly with me. Please do not bury me in Egypt, but let me die with my fathers. You shall carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burial place.
Yes. And the lesson for me was, do not let yourself rest outside of the grace of God. Do not let yourself rest outside of the grace of God.
Amen.
Let us stand up and pray. He is Lord.
Thank you.
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you very much for the lessons that you've shared with us, given to us, Lord God, from the life of Jacob and the life of Joseph. We bless you, Lord God, that these men walked with you, they looked to you, they believed in you, they waited upon you, and they trusted in you, Lord God, and you brought to pass the things that you had committed to their hearts, O Lord God. Through a word of promise, through revelation, through a dream, through your vision unto them, Lord God, and you brought these things to pass. Now, Lord, we declare in the name of Jesus that whatever you have spoken to us will come to pass. We call forth everything you've promised us, O God. We call forth every promise you've given to us in the name of Jesus, Lord. We call it forth right now. We call forth a promise of prosperity. We call forth the promise of long life. We call forth the promise of blessing. We call forth the promise of children. We call forth the promise of increase. We call forth the promise of blessing. We call forth the promise of the joy of the Lord. We call forth the promise of the peace of God. We call forth every promise that you have committed unto us, Lord God. And Father, we nullify every negative testimony. We nullify every negative confession. We nullify every message that comes to us from the enemy to make us doubt the grace and the goodness of the Lord. We refuse it, O Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we surrender ourselves to you. We surrender to you as we leave this place, Lord God. We pray that, Father, we shall not be the same people, but that you join us, Lord, and walk with us along the way. Lord, remind us of the promise you made to us at Bethel, at Luz, those promises that you have given us at different times in our life. Remind us, Father, and help us to hold on to them. And when we begin to waver, when we begin to doubt, when we begin to look back, when we begin to fail, when we begin to faint in our faith, kindly reach out, Lord, and strengthen us in you.
kindly reach out, Lord, and draw us to you. Kindly reach out, Father, and bring us back to your presence. And help us to enjoy and to love your presence. In the name of Jesus.